Welcome to Food for Thought, the place to explore, celebrate, and manifest a life motivated and defined by unconditional compassion and optimal wellness. My name is Colleen Patrick-Gaudreau, and I'm your host. My work is dedicated to empowering people to live according to their own values of compassion and wellness. You can learn more about who I am and what I do by visiting my website, ColleenPatrickGaudreau.com, or JoyfulVegan.com if it's easier for you. And today's topic is vegan in Seattle. Food for Thought podcast is brought to you by the listeners of this podcast. That means you. Thank you so much for valuing this podcast by supporting it at patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGaudreau. You could also find this link on my website and check out the current goal that you can help me reach to continue working for you and the animals. I, of course, was thrilled to see so many of you up in the Pacific Northwest, and I look forward to seeing many of you here in Oakland for our vegan retreat, our Compassion Immersion Retreat with CPG. That's me, May 27th to May 29th, 2016. Registration for the event is at ColleenPatrickGaudreau.com, JoyfulVegan.com, and you can click on the link for the website for this event. It is live. I am so excited by the number of signups we already have. It's going to be a very special weekend with sessions such as strategies for compassionate communication, the importance of practicing self-compassion, avoiding compassion fatigue, being the most effective advocate, and applying practical compassion to everyday living. This is a response to what I hear from so many of you who are looking for connection and community. And of course, this is in celebration of the 10-year anniversary of the Food for Thought podcast. I'm so excited to celebrate with you and to share this weekend with you. We're going to have a really special 2 days and 3 days if you are signing up for the intimate immersion experience, which includes coming to my abode and having some wine and nibbles and checking out the kitties and petting the kitties with me and having just some intimate time. Also, because of a special VIP anonymous sponsor who wanted to really just get as many people to this event as possible, we're able to offer a special discount for those who have not signed up yet. If you already signed up, please do not worry. We are going to be doing lots of special things for people who signed up early. And so no one's going to be left out of this. So we're just having different offers, different specials. For those who signed up already, you will be treated, I promise you. So don't fret. If you're hearing this and you're like, I want to get this $50 off the registration price, I promise you, we are going to make it worth your while of being one of the first people who signed up. So just know that this is going to enable more people to sign up who haven't signed up yet, and we need to fill this event up. So if you've already registered and you would not be able to use this $50 coupon, don't worry. We're taking care of you. If you haven't signed up yet, now is the time to sign up. You need to go to joyfulvegan.com and click on the registration page right now because this offer expires on Easter Sunday. So that's March 27th. 2016 at 8 p.m. Pacific time. And for $50 off, if you use this coupon code CPG50, the number 50, you get $50 off the registration. And that includes both the intimate experience and the regular immersion experience. So go to joyfulvegan.com, sign up today, folks, and help me spread the word. If you're too far away, at least you can help me spread the word about this. So very excited to see all of you here. And we'll talk more about really the impetus for this event and why I think this is something we'll be able to do more of if this one works. So let's fill it up and let's really together immerse ourselves in what it means to live compassionately and healthfully. It's been so lovely connecting with all of you online and offline, of course, just having gotten back from an event and getting so many beautiful emails from you, like this one from Denise Miller. And I just want to share this with you. Denise made a one-time donation to this work. And I love sharing emails like Denise's with you because I know they're so relatable. I know other people hear them and can relate to them. So here is what Denise wrote. Hello, Colleen. I recently discovered your podcast a couple months ago and have been steadily catching up. I've always been open-minded about trying new foods, and a few years ago, I became very good friends with a vegan coworker at the same time that my sister coincidentally became vegan. Because of them, I decided to check out some vegan restaurants. I was blown away by the food. The flavors, the creativity, the colors, and the overall passion in the food amazed me, and it made me feel so healthy. While I admittedly continued to eat meat, I reduced it from my diet significantly and lost weight, felt more energy than I had since high school, and I fell in love with so many meat and dairy alternatives out there. When I travel to new places, I always go out of my way to find vegan, vegetarian restaurants. When I would practically beg fellow meat eaters to go with me, they did not understand why I would want to order an all-vegan meal when I'm not vegan. Sometimes the food spoke for itself for some people, but most of the time I ended up feeling disappointed and frustrated that most of my friends and family were less than impressed by my vegan adventures. I hate to say, I ended up keeping my love of vegan food mostly to myself and would go to these vegan restaurants alone because there's no way anything was stopping me from eating this delicious food. Then I started watching documentaries about animal abuse and slaughterhouses. Then I found your podcast and numerous articles about animal rights and so forth. For me, the food aspect of transitioning to a vegan diet is the easy part. Giving up, quote unquote, meat, dairy, and eggs will be so easy for me personally, especially knowing the sacrifice and pain the animals go through for us to eat them. It is the social aspect of veganism that has always worried me until I found your podcast. While everyone faces social challenges from people who disagree, sometimes angrily, about the foods we choose or choose not to eat, I've always felt a little extra intimidated because I'm on active duty in the military. While I love my fellow service members dearly, I am without a doubt immersed in a community of meat-obsessed people who tend to be less open-minded in the culinary world, to say the least. However, your podcast has taught me so much, most importantly to speak my truth, and that truth is on behalf of the animals. I'm so hooked on becoming vegan, but there is just one more obstacle that remains. I'm currently on deployment and am at the mercy of military galleys cooking for me while I have no access to a kitchen or grocery store. My countdown to going home, 34 days, which obviously is less now, Denise, has recently become a countdown to becoming a full-time vegan, and I cannot wait. I have already told this to my husband, my sister, who's no longer vegan, my parents, and a few close friends, and for the first time in my life, I started speaking on behalf of the animals. It was no longer just about eating delicious, healthy food. Vegan food means so much more to me now. Your podcast has given me the confidence I need to face social situations, and to be perfectly honest, I'm still a little nervous about that aspect with my Navy friends. But you give me hope and the courage I need to clearly express how I have felt about the gross mistreatment of animals for a long time. Thank you so much. All the best, Denise. So that kind of definitely made my day when I first read it, and just reading it again makes me tear up. Denise, I'm so grateful to you. Thank you so much for taking the time to write. And thank you so much for your support. So hello, everybody. I have heard from so many of you who love the travel episodes. So I thought I would dedicate today's episode to talking about our recent trip to the Seattle area and all the vegan goodness I found up there, as well as visits real and imagined outside of this beautiful Pacific Northwest city. More on that in a minute. And here's the first thing I want to say that I hope will give you hope. People ask me all the time if I see things changing in the world. And this is my answer to that. So the last time I was in Seattle was in 2004, which was 12 years ago. And I remember how few choices we had. Now, of course, we ate. That wasn't a problem. But the difference between just 12 years ago and today is kind of ridiculous. Not even a contest. What I remember is going to a hot dog place that had vegan hot dogs. It wasn't a strictly vegan hot dog place, but it was a hot dog place that had vegan hot dogs. And I remember being so excited about a vegan hot dog, which, of course, you know, at the time I could buy vegan hot dogs, you know, heat them up at home. I mean, they weren't that novel, but you feel so excited when you can, you know, can find edible food, but, you know, especially novelty vegan food, like, you know, something like a vegan hot dog. So we were very excited about this vegan hot dog. And then we also went to Mighty O's, which is a vegan donut shop in Seattle that had opened just recently when we were there in 2004. I think it opened in 2003. And this is what happens. Like, we were like every other vegan who If it's vegan and novel, we were there supporting it, right? That's so often the case, especially when you're newly vegan. You just get so excited about anything that's vegan, even if it's mediocre or not really healthy, like donuts. And you just get really excited and you're just like, yes, I'm going to get this because, see, I can have vegan food too. Non-vegans, take that. And you just feel really like victorious. So that's all we had was like a vegan hot dog. We had more than that, but that's all. The choices were like, you know, in terms of actual novelty vegan food, it was like vegan donuts, vegan hot dogs, and there were pizza places. I think is still there, Pizza Pie, like PI. And we've been eating classic marinara pizza for a long time, long before commercial vegan cheeses were in restaurants. And so, of course, it was no problem to find vegan pizza in that sense without the cheese and just get lots of veggies on top. And one thing, of course, I remember as well is that the best thing about the trip was going to what was then called Sidecar for Pigs Peace, which is a sanctuary up in Washington. And it's now called Vegan Haven. And it's a vegan store in Seattle. And it was opened by my friend Joe Haptis, who eventually made it easy for Pigs Peace Sanctuary to take it over entirely as a way for them to fundraise. And it's a great model, and Joe has done this before. Joe did the same thing in Berkeley, here in Berkeley, California. He and his partner, Noel Callahan, opened Republic of V, a 100% vegan store, and now that is entirely in the hands of Animal Place. So it was pretty awesome 12 years ago to walk into a vegan store and know everything there didn't contribute to animal cruelty. And actually, I remember that day, Josh Harper was there. I don't know if you have followed the story of the Shack 7, animal activists who were indicted on animal enterprise terrorism charges, but Josh was one of them, and that was just when everything was really happening before anybody went to prison yet, and many did. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just go look up the story of Shack 7. It is a frightening chapter in the fight for justice for animals and a frightening chapter in the fight for free speech, yes, even in the United States. And so I remember Josh being there, and it was lovely. So I have this wonderful memory of being there, you know, at Sidecar, which was called then, and Joe being there and connecting with Joe and connecting with Josh. And again, for food choices, that was all I remember in terms of novelty vegan food. Of course, we ate and we were fine, but there weren't any vegan restaurants. Not that I remember, and maybe I'm wrong, but I do not remember there being any vegan restaurants. And, you know, we had gone to Seattle and we'd been to Vancouver, and I just remember there feeling like there were more options. And we were only there a few days. Maybe I missed something. We went up there to meet David's parents since they were just stopping over in Seattle on the West Coast before heading to Alaska for vacation. But other than obviously Thai restaurants and pizza places where we could find delicious edible food, there weren't any vegan restaurants. So imagine my surprise and delight when going back 12 years later and seeing how many vegan restaurants there are. Now, I want to emphasize, as I often do, that ever since I've been vegan, which is now 17 years, I have never been at risk of starving. Vegan food is real food. It's fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds and beans and mushrooms and grains and herbs and spices, and that is found in every cuisine. So we've never had a problem going to Thai or Chinese or Japanese or Mexican or Ethiopian restaurants and finding delicious edible food. Yes, American restaurants are the worst. It's true. But luckily, everywhere we've ever traveled, there are lots of options, especially when you're in an urban area. I mean, I confess that if you're in suburban and rural areas, it's not impossible, but it's a little harder. And so we just plan a little better, and we may not have gourmet meals, but truth be told, there's always something to eat wherever you go. Now, of course, it's so much better when non-vegan restaurants have good, edible, compassionate choices rather than just that something to fill up our bellies, right? That novelty, that excitement you have when you just have like one thing that says vegan on the menu and you get so excited. Of course, it's better when they have creative, delicious options for everybody to eat, including vegans. And that's fantastic. However, what's even better is being able to go to vegetarian and vegan-only restaurants because, of course, they're making really creative, delicious food. So it was fantastic that on this trip to the Seattle area, because we were in more places than just Seattle, there were too many vegan restaurants for us to eat in the 6 days we were there. Too many, like way too many, like and you know, you can only eat so much. Like, you know, when we go to different places to travel, we're not just going to eat. And I know that there are a lot of vegans who travel that way. I like to eat, but I also want to eat so that I can go and do other things in that city. But I, of course, you know, when I can, I really love being able to support the vegan restaurants. So You may remember I was up there because the Port Townsend Meetup group organized a talk for me, and about 100 people signed up to come, and I'm incredibly impressed and grateful that you all came despite the weather. Port Townsend is an absolutely adorable town on a peninsula just 2 hours northwest of Seattle. And in fact, I was just flipping through a copy of Sunset Magazine. Sunset Magazine is a magazine that kind of focuses on the West, the Western part of the U.S. And I was flipping through a copy of it in a waiting room the other day. And actually, just a little side note, Sunset Magazine is now headquartered in Oakland, which is lovely and exciting. And I saw that they voted Port Townsend as one of the best small towns in the West. So it is. It's really wonderful. You feel like you've stepped back in time. It's got this really sleepy charm. It's, the architecture is beautiful. Lots of Victorians still standing and still having been renovated. They're just beautiful. There's an emphasis on art and artists. There's so many galleries featuring local artists in really every medium. And the little downtown area is just really lovely, the little shopping area. There's so many beautiful buildings. And if it weren't so windy and rainy when we were there, we definitely would have walked around more and enjoyed this very walkable, very charming town. Now, just to let you know, because I always like to give you suggestions, we stayed at the Old Consulate Inn, which is a bed and breakfast in an old Victorian mansion. And if you want authentic Victorian architecture and decor in a quiet location with a view of the water and a 10-minute walk to town, then I recommend it. But I probably wouldn't stay there again. I have a feeling there's probably other Victorian B&Bs. We just didn't look very far. Someone had recommended this place, and so we stayed. And we had told them a few times that we were vegan, and they seemed genuinely interested in making something special for us, like as special as what they were making for the other guests. But while everyone else was being fed eggs and sausage and ham and cream-based parfaits, I'm really surprised everyone didn't have a heart attack on the spot. I could not believe what they were eating, and I don't usually see it, so perhaps I'm just in a little bubble, but they just gave us a fruit bowl and quinoa with nuts and dried fruit. Now, honestly, I eat simply for breakfast, and I really love healthful, you know, energy enhancing foods, and that's what this breakfast was. It was very filling, and it was delicious to us, and we were fine. But when you're paying for the breakfast experience at a bed and breakfast, and when you've had really special, fabulous meals at other bed and breakfasts, and when they tell you that they're going to make something special for you, it was disappointing. And our room also had a little bit of a funky odor to it that I just couldn't shake, even with the fan. Like, I just couldn't get this little funky odor out, and the windows didn't open. So that's just one room in this B&B. I'm sure other rooms were great, but I'm just giving you my full disclosure. I would look for somewhere else to stay, but I would definitely stay in Port Townsend again, and I would recommend that you do as well. It was an easy 2-hour drive from Seattle, and I'm just looking out the window because it's actually really windy and rainy right now. I feel like I'm back in Port Townsend. It's the perfect time to record this. And so when we got there to Port Townsend, the first thing we did was eat at one of the two Thai restaurants in town. And you can just pick either one. They were both good. My red curry was good. It wasn't amazing. It was good. Red curry is usually my go-to dish at Thai restaurants. So I tend to use it as a litmus test for all Thai restaurants. David got the basil fried rice. I was very jealous of that. His was better than mine. And we also ordered spring rolls, which were good. Again, nothing amazing, but it was good. Really good go-to Thai food. And as always with Thai restaurants, you just want to ask about the fish sauce and make sure there's no fish sauce in the curries or sauces. And I find that 80% of the time, they're vegetarian or can be made such without the fish sauce. From there, we walked around in the ridiculous wind and went out to the dock. We went to the local bookstore, of course. We browsed a few art galleries. And then finally, we went to a bar for a drink before going to the Rose Theater to see Son of Saul, which I recommend. It's a harrowing, beautifully made film from 2015 that takes place in the Auschwitz concentration camp during World War II. And I believe it won the Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film. It's worth seeing, especially if you're interested in Holocaust and World War II films. We saw it at the Rose Theater, which is a gem of a theater built as a vaudeville theater in 1907. Really lovely. And I'm really impressed with how many well-known filmmakers and performing arts celebrities they have come in for guest appearances and talks and lectures and Q&As. The films they screen are top-notch. They're foreign. They're independent, award-winning premiere films. I mean, just all sorts of wonderful films. And they're a tiny theater in a tiny little town. So really impressed with the arts community there in Port Townsend, and absolutely worth the drive from Seattle. We loved this town. We loved this theater. I'm a popcorn freak. I aspire to eat popcorn every day, and their popcorn was really good. And they had all these spices and nutritional yeast lined up to flavor your popcorn with. And they serve wine and beer. So it was a really nice experience to go into the theater and watch a really good movie. The next day, Sunday, was the day of my talk. But after breakfast and before going to a lovely potluck at the home of the main organizer of the event, we took a drive around Fort Worden, which was an active U.S. Army base from 1902 to 1953. It's now part of the park system there. And lots of nonprofits rent the buildings from them. And it's really just beautiful. It's kind of annoying that the U.S. military builds its forts and structures in some of the most beautiful spots in the world, because you know, there's just a lot of barracks and everything there. I would just love to see that it be open space. But just like the Presidio in San Francisco, that's where the naval base is. I mean, this just happens all the time, is the military gets these prime real estate, and Fort Worden was that. It's just absolutely beautiful. And I'm not going to lie, it was fun to drive around considering the fact that the movie Officer and a Gentleman was filmed there a couple decades ago, and it was definitely a movie I saw a few times in my youth, and it was fun to drive around and see the structures and the backdrops of this film. That was also filmed in parts of Port Townsend. So I think that's one of the things people go there for. And you can see lots of iconic buildings and, like I said, backdrops from that film. And David had never seen it. So it was one of those movies from the 80s that I think holds up. And I think it's a good movie. And so we watched it late that night, like late one night on our laptop in the hotel. We watched it. The other significant building for David was that of Copper Canyon Press. If you're a poetry lover, and David is, for those who remember, this is the only publishing house in the U.S. dedicated solely to poetry. So he's a huge poetry fan, and he's read several books published by this press, which also leases space here in Fort Worden. So it was fun to drop by and see where these books are published. So with our sightseeing complete and our potluck finished, it was time to head to the talk. And I am so impressed with everyone who came out despite the wind and rain. It was so bad that some people actually didn't get out of Port Townsend that night, and we were almost counted among them. Our drive back to Seattle was twice as long as it had been getting there, because the bridge to get off of the peninsula and back to the mainland was closed, and so we had to drive all the way around to get back up. But there are worse things in the world, because our drive took us through the Olympic National Forest, which was absolutely stunning, and I look forward to returning there and hiking in that forest. It was beautiful. It's one of the benefits of a rainy climate. Everything's so green, just so lush. So I can't wait to get back there. Now, we were desperately trying to find a place to eat. We were just kind of taking, you know, kind of aware of how much time we still had to take to get to Seattle. We were aware of when things were closing, and we had a notion of stopping in Tacoma. There's a vegan restaurant in Tacoma called Viva Tacoma, and it looked really lovely, but it was going to be closed, or just about closed by the time if we went out of our way to go to Tacoma. So instead, we had to drive through Olympia anyway. We went to a pizza place called Vic's Pizzeria, and as always, we just said no cheese, and they had a ton of vegetable topping. So we ordered, no cheese pizza with roasted garlic, spinach, basil, and red onions, which is one of our favorite combinations. I love roasted garlic on my pizza. And it gave us the sustenance we needed for the remainder of what turned into a 4-hour drive. It was, like I said, it was twice as long, but there were worse things in the world. We got back to our hotel safe and sound, and we were grateful to be such. And we watched Officer and a Gentleman that night. So it was a good trip all around. And I highly recommend Port Townsend for those who are looking for things to do outside of Seattle. Just absolutely beautiful. Now, I'm speaking from absolute naivete, because I haven't been to any of the islands off of Seattle and that whole area. So I have many, many more things to explore in that area, but from my very limited experience outside of Seattle, I can at least recommend Port Townsend, which was lovely. And again, thank you to everybody who came to the event. As for the eating options in Seattle, as I said, they were abundant. So we arrived on Wednesday night after already having eaten dinner, so before we got to the airport. So we got there on Wednesday night, and we just settled in and unpacked our things Wednesday night. Now, we stayed at the Hotel 100, which is in a very central location. It's just downtown, walkable to many, many things. One of the nice things about it is that it has some vegan options. Again, obviously, there's vegan options. There's always going to be oatmeal. There's always cereal. I find that plant-based milks are in a lot of hotels these days. There is often fruit. And this time there's actually at Hotel 100 a tofu scramble, which was pretty good. It was really good scramble with sun-dried tomatoes and lots of herbs and peppers, really delicious, and roasted potatoes we also had, and fresh fruit and orange juice. And so David, that night when we got there, ordered room service for the next day, this breakfast. So our Thursday started off with a full belly, and we went about our day. David went off to work, and I stayed behind at the hotel to work. And then finally I left at lunchtime to get my belly filled once again, and was able to walk to Veggie Grill, which was lovely. And I was pressed for time. I know there's lots of other vegetarian and vegan restaurants in Seattle, and Veggie Grill is, you know, a chain, but it was something familiar and I wanted something healthy but fast, and I needed to get more work done before I had to get back to the hotel for meetings. So for those who don't know Veggie Grill, it's become quite the chain, and I'm sure you've heard of it, or it's expanding to your area. And it's really wonderful to go to Veggie Grill, and I always see Veggie Grill packed. And I know that most of the people who patronize Veggie Grill are not vegetarian. So it's really serving quite a need for quick, edible, i.e. vegan, delicious food for the masses. And it's also very affordable. Now, there are quite a few Veggie Grills near me. The first one was actually down in LA, and then they opened up in kind of the South Bay in San Jose, Palo Alto area. And now there's one in Walnut Creek. And so I'm quite familiar with the menu. And one of the things I really like about Veggie Grill is that you can see the calorie count of the dishes on their website. I love that. I think every restaurant should have the calorie count of dishes. You really just don't know how many calories you're eating until you look, and it can get kind of scary. There are some really healthy salads, even on the Veggie Grill menu, that are surprisingly high in calories. And knowing that we already had dinner plans that night, I didn't want anything too heavy. So I opted for one of my favorite things on the Veggie Grill menu, which is the mini buffalo chicken wrap. So the little buffalo wings, you know, like chicken buffalo wings, vegan chicken buffalo wings with this amazing buffalo wing sauce and ranch dressing. And they have a regular size buffalo wing chicken wrap thing, but I love this little mini option. They have a mini option. It's like $3.50, and it's a perfect little snack or a small lunch that I accompanied with some kale and white bean soup. So it was a perfect, perfect little lunch. And the service at Veggie Grill is always so lovely. They're clearly doing something right in terms of how they train their behind-the-counter folks. So I hunkered down in the booth. I enjoyed my lunch. I stuck in my earbuds, and I got some more writing done, and then I had to get back to the hotel. That night, it was time to go to another restaurant to meet a friend, and we opted to meet at Plum Bistro, which is in a very cute, funky part of Seattle. I really like the neighborhood. And it was a little too far for us to walk there, so we hopped in an Uber and we met our friend. And it's a really charming place. Very small, and they don't take reservations for parties fewer than six, but we were seated in no time, and we were quite impressed and amazed by this vast menu. I took photos, but they're awful. Like, they just don't do the food justice, so I'm not going to show you them or share them with you. But I can tell you we ordered the buffalo cauliflower. It's buffalo wing sauce, some popular in Seattle. It was delicious. The buffalo cauliflower, really decadent and delicious. And we ordered the roasted Brussels sprouts, which were good. Could have been a little more roasted. Could have been a little more roasted. They were not quite there, but they were great. And it's always great to have Brussels sprouts. Love Brussels sprouts. We ordered the mac and yeast, which, to be honest, was absolutely fantastic, but I want them to change the name. I think nutritional yeast is the worst name in the world for food. Who wants to eat something called yeast or nutritional? And so I think we need to, so yes, people call it nooch, but nooch is still a variation of nutritional yeast, which is cute. I like nooch. We can call it nooch, but not everybody, you know, like, that's not what it's called in the grocery store. So the Plum Bistro calls their macaroni and cheese, like, everything else is called what they are. Like, if you look at their menu online, everything else is called what it is. This one's called mac and yeast, like Y-E-A-S-E. Sorry, hate the name. But the dish was absolutely fantastic. I think it's called smoky. Is it called smoky or spicy mac and yeast? Delicious, fantastic, love it. So those were our starters. And then for our entrees, I had the Caesar salad. Caesar salad is also one of my litmus test dishes that I get wherever I go. Whenever there's a vegan Caesar salad, I get it. And I asked if they could include grilled tempeh rather than the portobello mushroom. Love portobello mushrooms, but I wanted like grilled tempeh. And David had the Creole scallop mushroom fettuccine, which was creamy and delicious. And our friend Laura had the tempeh vermouth. Everything was fantastic. The service was great. The ambience was lovely. The food was delicious. The drinks were perfect. And I'm just going to say it. I wish we had a Plum Bistro here in Oakland. I want more like that. It was just absolutely lovely. So overall, a fantastic experience. Highly recommend Plum Bistro for your next trip to Seattle, and I will be there again when I go again. Now, on Friday, there was some reprieve from the rain, but I am a professional. I had my hooded rain jacket. I don't even think I had an umbrella. You can tell the tourists, right? All of you Seattle folks or Pacific Northwesterners, you can tell the tourists from their umbrellas that they carry. Actually, it was quite funny when I was speaking up at the Portland Veg Fest back this past fall. It's so interesting. You can so see like native Pacific Northwesterners in like Oregon and Washington. Everybody's wearing like Adirondacks and like hiking shoes and, you know, just, I mean, everybody looks like they're about to go on a hike. It's adorable. So I was there with my rain jacket. I love rain jackets with hoods. I had my hood and I went to go meet a podcast supporter for lunch. And some of you have heard me talk about Amanda Kless in the past. Amanda is an amazing supporter who has made it possible for me to speak at several events, in the past year. In particular, she quite literally she paid for my travel and accommodations to be able to speak in Chicago and Portland. And I am just so grateful to her. And it was lovely to meet her in person and enjoy a meal with her and get to know her a little more. And one of the things I love is that Amanda, as a Patreon supporter, she didn't know anybody in Seattle. This was now, I think, a year ago. And she didn't know anybody else in Seattle who was vegan. And so she checked on her Patreon account. Like, she's a Patreon supporter. And she went, let me look for other supporters of Colleen on Patreon. And she found a lovely woman named Kayla who was living in Seattle, but was like about to move to Portland in a week. And they connected and they became fast friends and they continue to stay in touch and see each other. And I just love that two supporters were able to connect with each other via the Patreon account that enables people to reach out and find someone to connect with in person, especially like-minded people. And those of you who came to say hi to me at my table at the Portland Veg Fest met Kayla. She tabled with me all day and she helped me sell books, and she's fantastic and amazing and wonderful. And she's an Arbonne, you know, Arbonne skincare and cosmetics. She's an Arbonne consultant, distributor, I forget the name, spokesperson. And I've actually been using a lot of Arbonne products through Kayla. So if you're interested and you want to check out some Arbonne products, send an email to me through joyfulvegan.com on the support page and on the contact page, and I'll connect with Kayla. She's absolutely lovely. And I'm so grateful to Amanda and Kayla for your amazing support and to all of you. So this is a good segue to thank all of you. Before I tell you about more fabulous eating adventures in Seattle, I want to thank all of you who make this podcast possible, all of you for your monthly support through Patreon, for your one-time donations. Thank you to all of the regular ongoing platinum supporters, Tim Anderson, Jennifer Ellis and Ben Ellis, Paige Atchison, Sylvia Rockel, Valentina Zenkel, Ulrich, Amanda Kless, Renee Marinkovich, David Cabrera, Alexander Gray, and a new platinum supporter who upgraded from gold, Michal Stone from Perth, Australia, Western Australia. She wrote the most beautiful letter I would like to share with you. I, again, just love sharing these letters, because I think there's so much for people to relate to and be inspired by. She wrote, there's so much I want to say to you, and at the same time, I am finding it hard to find the words, although she does a really good job. You do, Michal. You've honestly changed my life, and I am a better, healthier, and happier person because of all you do. I discovered your podcast just over 3 years ago. I was on Facebook and came across a post someone shared about cosmetic testing on animals. I was absolutely shocked by what I saw and immediately started furiously researching online. I eventually found information about the treatment of animals used in agriculture. I became vegetarian that night. The next day, I told a friend about my decision, and I remember him saying, "But you better not go vegan." And I laughed and I said, "I definitely wouldn't do something crazy like that." Well, I soon found your podcast and listened to the one called A Visit to Two Free-Range Egg Facilities. I became vegan then and there, and I've never looked back. I've really loved your stages of what happens when you stop eating animals. They pretty much describe my pathway to joyful veganism perfectly, but there is something else that happened to me when I stopped eating animals. I've suffered from an eating disorder since I was 17 years old. Becoming vegan really flipped the switch on my eating disordered brain. Suddenly, there was more at stake. I wanted to recover not only for myself and my loved ones, but for the animals. I want to be a healthy, vibrant, and happy vegan to show the world how wonderful a compassionate vegan lifestyle is. Your podcast introduced me to new foods and recipes, and your message of compassion has given me this amazing sense of who I am. I am the vegan in the room. I've learned to speak up for myself and for those who can't speak for themselves. I've also started to become interested in other social justice causes that I believe are inextricably linked to animal rights. I am proud of the person I am these days, and I have made so much progress in my recovery. Thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. You are honestly my hero, alongside my amazing mom, Lynn Lee, who became vegan shortly after me. I honestly feel so good supporting your work. You're so brilliant at what you do, and I feel like I'm making a wonderful investment into making the world a kinder place. Lots of love, Michal Stone. Michal, thank you so much for your amazing letter, for your amazing support. I am so grateful to you, and thank you for sharing this, and thank you for letting me share this with the listeners. You know that I'm always moved by these. I know that you're moved by these letters, and I really don't doubt that because of letters like this, other listeners identify with these words, they're moved by them, and they're inspired by them for their own journey. So thank you for taking the time to write and for your incredible support. I promise to do it justice. Thank you also to our new gold members, Korshi Dosu and Laura Anderson, and to our new silver supporter, Chris. Chris, I want to say Gozer, I hope that's correct, and to Denise Miller and Karita Erickson for your one-time donations, your generous one-time donations. Chris and Korshi also sent me beautiful letters, which I will read at the end, so stick around for even more inspiration. You're all amazing. Thank you to everyone who supports this at every level. Every penny of your contribution goes to make this work possible, to help change the way we think about and treat animals, and to empower people to live as compassionately and healthfully as possible. Please become a patron today. To help continue this work, you can go to ColleenPatrickGaudreau.com, JoyfulVegan.com, or you can go right to Patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGaudreau. So the rest of my day, after having a wonderful lunch with Amanda, was spent at the hotel again working. It's a very, very busy time. It's always distracting because you don't have your normal routine, and you get a little like hotel room crazy. But I try to work outside of the room as much as possible. I always like finding a nice spot to work in a cafe or restaurant or something. But that night we had tickets to the Seattle Opera. It was a bit of a birthday present since my birthday was that week. And we went to see Mary Stuart by Donizetti, and we needed to eat first. So we went to what fast became my favorite Thai restaurant in Seattle, Noi Thai, N-O-I Thai. And there are also locations in really random places. There is a Noi Thai in Bend, Oregon. There's one in Honolulu, Hawaii, and this is random, but Honolulu isn't random, but I expected, like, you know, always expect, like, it's Seattle, Portland, New York, Chicago. It was like, you know, Bend, Oregon, which is awesome. Bend to Bend. Love Bend. Honolulu, Hawaii, and apparently they're opening one in San Francisco. So it's a meat-heavy Thai restaurant, like most Thai restaurants, but there are always lots of wonderful, delicious vegetarian options. And one recommendation I would have for them and for so many restaurants like them is to not have a separate vegetarian menu. Of course, when you're looking at Thai restaurant menus, you can be certain that almost everything that's in the meat and seafood sections can be made vegan. And there's often a separate vegetarian section, which is also deceiving because sometimes there are only like three or four options in that section. But the truth is, almost every curry or noodle dish or soup can be made vegan. In this case, I don't think there was even a vegetarian section. So I thought, I bet they have a vegetarian menu. So I said, do you have a vegetarian menu? And the server said, yes, absolutely. Let me go get that for you, which I don't like because not a lot of people know to ask for a separate vegetarian menu. So again, I go to a Thai restaurant. I know that I can get curries and noodle dishes and rice dishes and whatever, but I want to see a menu that has like some, maybe they do some special things. So I don't like that you have to ask for a separate vegetarian menu because a lot of people don't know that you can ask for it. And I need to remind myself to write reviews about this, or I just need to reach out to the restaurant to tell them this because I think it's a helpful tip. Now, as far as the food goes, probably one of the best red curries I've ever had. I mean, I don't know if I'm exaggerating. you hear me talk about favorite things a lot. But I use red curries as my litmus test, and it was so good. And my favorite things in a red curry are broccoli and peppers and bamboo shoots and tofu. And they had all of that. Like, that's what already was there. And you can always ask for different vegetables, obviously. Now, when it comes to the tofu, most tofu in Thai and Vietnamese restaurant dishes are fried. I get what tends to be called fresh tofu in Asian restaurants. So you just ask for fresh, or just, you know, what's called sometimes called white tofu, and sometimes whatever, you just say, I don't want it fried. And so I usually get that for mine. Delicious, yummy, delicious. Now, it was lovely that our server was also vegetarian, and we had a quick chat about that. Now, when I came back on Monday, David actually had a flight to Portland, and I was there by myself on Monday afternoon in Seattle, and I needed to have another, you know, meal. I needed to have like food, and I needed to leave the hotel, and I needed a place to work. So I went back to Muay Thai, and I had the red curry again, and I was really happy. And then, of course, it was lovely because some people sat down next to me. The restaurant was virtually empty because I wasn't there until like 2:30. So, like, you know, kind of the lunchtime rush was over. So two guys sat at the table next to me, and I'm always eavesdropping. You better watch out, because I'm telling you, I'm always eavesdropping. I might hear what you have to say and I might butt in. So I heard one of them start asking the server about vegetarian soups. Now, their lunch menu had ended, so they were saying, well, we only have the dinner menu. And he was saying they didn't have a vegetarian soup for the dinner menu. Now, I knew that one of the things they had given you complimentary was this really lovely broth with tofu and carrots and maybe some scallions in it. And it kind of had this broth, like a wonton soup kind of broth. And it was delicious and it was lovely and simple. But the guy was kind of struggling with trying to tell them that, like, yes, there were not vegetarian soups available. And he said, well, there are curries. And the guy was like, yeah, I really want a soup. So the server walked away and I took my little earbuds off and I said, hey, I know they have a complimentary soup. It's like a wonton soup, but it's just with tofu and vegetables and it's really delicious. And he says, really? Okay, fantastic. So that's what they wound up getting when the server came back. And then they were asking about some other questions. So again, I butted in and told him what I thought was really good. Now, unfortunately, they also ordered meat dishes, but I'm always curious about people who are vegetarian, or who are not vegetarian, not vegan, who very specifically ask for and look for vegetarian and vegan options. So I was happy about that. Well, long story short, no surprise, we wound up having a conversation about veganism, and I wound up giving them my card because the guy was like, oh, my sister's vegan. And here's something really interesting. He was like, yeah, my sister's vegan, kind of an annoying vegan. That's all she talks about. And I said, well, how long has she been vegan? And he said, about 2 years. And I said, okay, that's usually pretty common in the first year. And he said, yeah, so she's a little extreme about it. And I said, well, what do you mean extreme? He's like, well, that's all she talks about. And I said, you know, it's really hard not to be passionate about something that means so much to you. And I said, but one of the things I do in my work is to, you know, to guide vegans in being the most effective and compassionate advocate, so that it's not a turn off and so that it is a turn on. And so we had a conversation about that, which was nice. And of course, so typical of me. So, you know, do I think they, you know, checked out my website afterwards? I have no idea, but we had a nice talk and it was nice to be the vegan in the room. So after a couple hours there, getting some work done, I had a run to a local bar where an activist had arranged to have some followers, some of you, join me for a drink. And the bar that was chosen was called, or is called, Bathtub Gin, and it was fantastic. And I probably used the word favorite too much, but especially considering the fact that I went to only one bar in Seattle. But I think it's safe to say it's my favorite bar in Seattle now, because I loved so many things about it that I'm just gonna say it's my favorite bar in Seattle. It had a couple different floors for additional seating because it was very small. And we basically sat in one of those little private rooms downstairs. It was very gemütlichkeit, for those who remember my German podcast, my podcast on Germany. It was very gemütlichkeit. It was very cozy with wood walls and really good drinks. Not the best service at that moment. I think that our server was having a tough day, but otherwise it was really good. I probably should have ordered local gin, but I ordered a drink with my favorite gin, which is St. George, made here in Alameda, just a town over from us. There are a number of great distilleries here at the naval base, the old naval base in Alameda. So if you like gin, I highly recommend St. George and the Botanivore in particular. It's one of their types of gin. Really lovely. And one of my favorite gin drinks is called the Bee's Knees. If you are interested in the Bee's Knees, which everyone at our little meeting was, because everybody tried the Bee's Knees after I recommended it, it's just gin. And ask for agave, because Bee's Knees, get it, honey. It's usually made with honey, but just ask them to use agave. And most bars have agave because they're making, you know, they're making other drinks. And lemon juice. It's that simple. And crushed ice. It's really, really refreshing and lovely. So we all had Bee's Knees and it was really lovely. And I think Bee's Knees might now be officially the new CPG cocktail. Like, it is officially a CPG cocktail. And for those of you who were there with me, you know what I'm talking about. So thanks to everybody who came out that night. It was lovely connecting with all of you. And I know some of you from that that gathering are coming down for the retreat. So like I said, this retreat is really special. I'm really doing this in response to what I'm hearing you ask for. You know, I could really just sit on my laurels and not create a 2-day long event. And I'm not saying that, you know, and therefore you should be grateful to me, but I'm doing this because I see what people struggle with. I know what they need. They're asking for community. They're asking for, you know, kind of concentrated workshops on what it means to really live compassionately and do it confidently and joyfully, and how to talk to non-vegans and all the things we talk about in this podcast, but in person and over 2 days connecting with other podcast listeners. How cool is that? I'm so excited that you're going to be able to connect with each other. It means so much to me. And the fact is, you know, I love traveling and speaking at VegFest. It's a lot of work for me to travel wherever I go, across the country, just up the coast, down the coast, wherever I go, for an hour-long talk, right? I mean, it's a lot of resources. It's a lot of time for 1 hour at a VegFest. Now, it's usually a little bit more than that because I do some tabling and some book signing, and I'm reaching a very particular audience, a lot of non-vegans at those fests, and a lot of you bring non-vegans. So I love that. I'm never going to stop doing that. But in terms of being able to give you more value and make it more valuable for me and sustainable for me, and again, just valuable for everybody, I think this kind of 2-day weekend could work on a more regular basis. It's only going to work if you tell me, yep, this is what you want. If this one doesn't fill up, and if I'm not really seeing the response to it that I hope for, then okay, that's the answer I need. And it's not, we're not going to do more. But I'm seeing a lot of people sign up. I'm definitely seeing people sign up for the intimate immersion experience, which is where you come and, you know, we have some time together for a small group. Maybe it's really like a small group is willing to pay a higher amount for this kind of real intimacy that I can give you, especially being able to give you kind of customized Q&A. We'll work all that out, but we'll know what to do in the future based on what response we have to this one. So I just want you to know I'm really excited about this, and I'm really encouraged by what I'm seeing so far in terms of the signups. So definitely go to joyfulvegan.com, click on the link for this event, sign up. I am seeing so many people come from so many places around the country. I know it's hard for those of you who are outside the country, but hey, listen, this could be something that I can organize in another country again, if this works. So sign up, and I can't wait to see you in Oakland. And like I said, some of the folks who were at our little gathering were are coming to the Oakland event, and I can't wait to see all of you. In fact, Stacy, who I'd also met in Portland, gave me a beautiful card of one of her paintings. I'm looking at it right now. I've just turned my head to go look at it. I have it where all my other gifts are. I get some beautiful gifts from you, and it's a painting of two deer. It's just really beautiful. So thank you, Stacy. And after that, I had to run in and meet David, who is now back from Portland, and we decided to go to Cafe Flora for dinner. It was much farther out. It's only the only reason that we almost didn't get to Cafe Flora. It was just, you know, it just took a 15-minute Uber ride or car ride, whatever, to Cafe Flora, and we were staying downtown. But everyone had talked about it, and I really wanted to go. It was Monday night. It was around 7:30 by the time I got there, so there weren't that many people there. I have a feeling it probably fills up, especially at brunch time, which I hear is really fantastic. So just to be clear, Cafe Flora is vegetarian with a ton of vegan options, and we really enjoyed everything we ordered. Those who follow me on Instagram would have seen what we ordered that night. We had, I can't quite remember exactly what the dishes were called, grilled broccolini in a delicious Asian sauce. It reminded me of a goma ai at Japanese restaurants. Really enjoyed, like, it was like a sesame kind of sesame-y thick sauce, a little bit of peanut flavor. We had raviolis with broccoli and greens, and we had some delicious tostadas. And then, of course, we had to get the brownie hot fudge sundae. Yeah, I said had to. We had to get that sundae. It was a fantastic sundae. I don't know, should I say favorite now that that's just a theme for this episode? It was my favorite, the best hot fudge brownie sundae that I've ever had. And it really was delicious. So we went back to our hotel, and the next day we started our journey back home. Needless to say, I can only eat so much, and there were many restaurants we didn't get to try. Thanks to social media and all of your enthusiasm, we have a list of places to go next time we're there, which may be sooner than you think. Hopefully. Everyone raves about Wayward Vegan Cafe, Chaco Canyon Cafe, No Bones About It Vegan Food Truck, Thrive is another one, and so many other places you can find just by searching online. Perhaps we just weren't looking hard enough 12 years ago, but for the life of me, I cannot remember having this many options in Seattle to eat out. The fact that Vegan Haven is still there is lovely. And of course, it was lovely meeting one of the managers at the Port Townsend Talk. He's one of the managers of Vegan Haven. He and along with his partner are both activists for the animals. Thank you both so much. And there are lots of great vegan things going on in veganism and animal advocacy up in Seattle, and I'm grateful to all of you for all of the work you do. It gives me so much hope. It makes my heart so happy and so big and so grateful to see so much progress in just a dozen years. And my hope is that it will continue, and it will continue because of people like you who are opening restaurants and making food and making careers of this and just doing advocacy and organizing events and organizing protests and just doing all of the work that needs to be done for the animals. And thank you all for helping me do the work that needs to be done for all, for the animals, for all of the things we care about. And thank you again for your support. Like Chris Gozer, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. Chris sent me a sweet brief note along with his contribution, said, "Colleen, I'm ashamed to admit this is my first donation after many years of listening to your podcast. I started eating a plant-based diet 7 years ago after being diagnosed with MS. I've since embraced the title vegan, thanks to your advocacy for the animals, as have my wife and son. Your teaching to live a compassionate life by choosing to not contribute to the suffering of animals has become second nature to our family. We've reached the 10th stage, due in no small part to you." So beautiful, Chris. Thank you to you and your family. And from Korshi, wrote, "Hi, Colleen. We've been meaning to sponsor you for a while and have finally gotten around to it after listening to almost every episode of your podcast. Thanks for all the wonderful work you've done so far, and we hope that this little bit helps you continue your work." It does indeed, Korshi. Thank you so much. On behalf of the animals, thank you all for listening. Thank you for your support. I'm so grateful to all of you for helping me continue to be a voice for the animals. This is Colleen Patrick-Adreau. Thanks for listening.